Good morning. Got an overload of Dotsons here today, from the pulpit to the pew. I'm glad they're here. We're going to be in Psalms 139 today. Psalms 139. Give you a moment to find that. Wish everyone a happy Mother's Day. Your mothers. Psalms 139. This psalm is broken down into several sections. What we're going to do is just we'll go through and touch on each one of them. We've done something similar to like that before. We'll have more to say on some sections than others. And as usual, what we have to say will not be definitive. I, like you, am a student of the Scriptures. So this is my book report again. Let's read the whole psalm. It's not that long, and it'll do us good. So bear with me. We'll just read it, okay? 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my paths and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from Thy Spirit? Or where can I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there Thy hand will lead me, and Thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to Thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to Thee. For Thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Thy works. And my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from Thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in Thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are Your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Oh, that Thou wouldst slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate Thee, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against Thee? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. The heart of this first section, verses 1 through 6, is found right in the middle of it. God is intimately acquainted with us. God is intimately acquainted with us. To have an intimate friendship or relationship with someone is to know that person on a level deeper than the surface. We can't know a passing acquaintance intimately. The last time I was up here, we were over in Philemon. And we touched on the fact that Paul and Philemon were intimate friends, and how that emotional and spiritual investment is what we need most from each other. We can and we should know one another on a level deeper than the surface. Now, we're not talking about knowing what your favorite color is. We're not talking about knowing whether you like pecans in your brownies or you like them plain. I like them both ways. Actually, you would have had me at brownie. We're not talking about that. We're talking about knowing one another after the Spirit. A level deeper than the surface. We humans are complicated. We have many layers. My dad back there, since the Dotsons are here, we'll pick on them. So my dad back there has known me the longest. And he knows me pretty well. My sons, they know me pretty well. My wife, Jennifer, knows me best. She has seen me at my worst, most definitely. And she's seen me at my best. She knows me well, all of my shortcomings, all of my strengths. But not even she knows me completely. Now, please don't come up to me after church and recommend counseling. It's spelled out for us here. God knows our thoughts. Does your spouse know your thoughts? You can always say, well, I know what you're thinking. No. Only God knows us down to the core. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we rise up. He knows when we go out. He knows when we come in. He understands our thoughts. He knows every word you're about to say. Think on that. God knows when you're about to say something extremely stupid. We've talked about words before up here. We can burn our house down with our words, right? We can set the woods on fire. He also knows when we're about to say a kind thing. He also knows when we're about to do a kindness. He knows us down to the core. Now, on the surface, this statement is a bit frightening, right? He knows our thoughts. Yikes. He knows the intent of my heart. Oh, our hearts. But in the Spirit, this should be a great comfort to us. Really, it should. He knows that we're a fallen people. He knows that we are bent and twisted. We're messed up. We don't like to say that very often. We dress up pretty nice, but we're really messed up. I am. I'm about to say it. Nobody else will. I'm messed up. And yet, knowing me down to the core, God loves me. That should be encouraging to us. He loves us. Well, that leads us to a question, right? An obvious question. So if God knows us intimately, this is whether you want it or not. God knows us intimately, intimately acquainted with us. How well do we know Him? I had a friend once going through a crisis, and that person was praying hard, working through it, and they told me, it suddenly dawned on me how little I knew of God. How well do we know Him? Is it just superficial? Is it just on Sunday? Just on the surface? Do we touch base with God only when we really need Him? That's pretty common. Only in a crisis. How well do we know God? I think a couple of times before I was up here, I had referenced a Christmas carol. You may or may not remember that. But anyway, I had mentioned to you that it was among my secular authors. He's one of my favorite. And of his writings, A Christmas Carol is close to the top for me. It's a beautiful book. I think I said something like, I hope Dickens got it right, because he was really close. In that reference a few Sundays back, we were at the end of his little story, where Scrooge is on his knees, you know, saying, please, let me sponge this away, right? Well, this reference is on the front. Again, everybody knows the story, but he's visited by three spirits. The second is the ghost of Christmas present. So Scrooge awakens, and there's a light under the door, and he timidly walks over to it and opens it and pokes his head through the door. He sees something he has never seen before. There's a great big giant of a guy in the middle of the room, kind of elevated and seated on a big chair. Decorations are everywhere. Candles are lit. There are great bowls of punch and great joints of meat. There are heaps of bread and fruit and all kinds of wonderful things to eat. The hearth has a fire burning in it that room had never known before. The giant looks over at Scrooge, and he says this wonderful line to him, come in and know me better. What a great line. Come in and know me better. God is saying that to us today. It's come up. Come up. Know me better. How well do we know Him? Verse 5 is just beautiful. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Now this speaks to His keeping of us, right? It's kind of a beautiful picture there. God encompasses us from behind and before and covering us. It's like He's got us, right? But it's not talking about a long life full of joy and happiness and health and wealth. It's really about His just keeping of us, our very selves. Keeping our very selves, our hearts, our minds, and our souls. This is also a picture of how we should live. If He has enclosed us from behind, all right, then we really don't need to look back much, do we? He's enclosed us from behind. We don't really need to look back much. We shouldn't look back much, except for stock taking. except to see how far we've come in His grace, to mark His provision, His keeping of us. We take a look back and we remember. We do that when we take the Lord's Supper, right? It's just a glance back. So thank you. We should never look back in regret. That's difficult. That's difficult. But we should never look back in regret. We should never look back on past grievances or wounds given out or received. He has also enclosed us before. So He's enclosed us from behind. He's enclosed us from before. So that we really can't see that far in front of us. He has enclosed us behind. He has enclosed us before. We really can't see that far in front of us. Elsewhere in the Scriptures, I think it's in Psalms 119, it says, Thy word is a light to my path. Just right here. And y'all probably heard that teaching before, but just right here. Really, that's all you need to know. What's right here in front of me? What's my next step? Where am I standing right now? That's the light you need. The future is known only to God, and we may trust Him for it. We may trust Him for it. So if we're enclosed from behind, and we're enclosed from the front, we can't see too far back, can't see too far forward, what does that leave us? Today. It leaves us today. Jeff kind of hit on it in his teaching this morning. He was talking about being joyful. And he said, he mentioned something about not being joyful necessarily in the future, but right now. Rejoice now. We have these moments. Sir William Osler was a physician. He practiced medicine in the late 1800s, the early 1900s. You may or may not be familiar with him. He was the co-founder of Johns Hopkins Hospital. That should put a hook in it for you. He gave a speech once to the students at Yale entitled, A Way of Life. He said, we are often handicapped in our lives by a combination of introspection and retrospection. The mistakes of yesterday paralyzing the efforts of today. The worries of the past hugged to our destruction. The load of tomorrow added to those of yesterday, carried today, will make the strongest falter. In other words, the past is gone. Quit looking back. The future is not promised to us. We have these moments. What will we do with them? David closes this section like his hands are raised in the air. It's too high. It's too wonderful. Can you see him? I can't attain to it. The second section. Where can I go from thy spirit? Where can we go? That's the second section. Where can we go? God has been seeking us from the beginning. It goes all the way back over here into Genesis. Our first parents stumbled. They sinned badly. They try and hide themselves from God. They actually try to hide themselves from Him. But God, seeking them out, calls to them, "Where are you?" It's a sweet call. It's not a "where are you?" It's "where are you? Where are you?" Oh, blessed call. Can you hear Him? This should be an encouragement to all of us. Our love for Him may have waned. Our prayers may have grown cold. Perhaps you've stopped praying altogether. Perhaps we just looked up one day and Christ was at a distance from us. There was space between us. Or perhaps like the prodigal, we cut our cable and ran. There are echoes here of the parable of the good shepherd who leaves the 99 safe and secure and goes after the one. Where are you? I'll have to hurry here, but I'll tell you a Mother's Day story, since it is Mother's Day. And I'll use myself, if you'll pardon it, for the point. This condition that we just talked about, I have experienced. I have looked up, and there was space between me and my Lord. It just happened. The worries and the cares of life, rearing children, balancing the career, and I got problems at work, and I got problems, you know, it just happens to us, right? It's happened to me. I also have cut my cable and run. Now, it happened a long time ago. It was back in my junior and senior years of high school, and it spilled all the way over into college. My wife was going to Mrs. Dotson's Sunday school class, and she didn't even know I existed because I didn't go. I'd had enough of this God stuff, enough of prayer, enough of church, enough of you people. I want to live in this other lane for a while. And I did. Don't worry, I'm not going to confess my sins to you, but you know, uncabled, it was bad. Well, my mother came up to me, and most of you here know my mother. She was like Philemon said of Archippus. She was God's soldier. She got in your personal space. Well, my mother came up to me one day. I'll never, ever forget this. She got in my space, up close. She's pointing her finger at me. She said, "You're going to live for God, no matter what it takes." I'm like, "What?" And she said, "No matter what it takes, all your life, I've been praying for you. I'm about to start praying against you." What? "I'm going to pray against you. If it takes a horrendous car wreck that cripples you for life and puts you in intensive care, if it all but kills you, that's what I'm going to pray." Can you pray that for your children? Can I? Those of you who knew her, and I say this reverently, it was like she had a direct line to heaven. I put my hands in front of me like this, and I begged her to pray for me. I said, "Mom, pray for me. I'm coming back. I'm coming. I need a little more time. Not I was on my way. I begged her to pray for me. And she did. But that's a mother's love. Whew. I don't know. Can I pray that over my own sons? Whatever it takes. Let me quickly say, though, I'm back in the fold. You say, of course, you're teaching this morning. Let me say further, I need this. I need this. I need this teaching, even if it's just to myself. I've got it in me to cut and run. That's as close to a confession as you're going to get. We sing it in our hymns, don't we? Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Well, here I am, I'm telling you. I got it in me. No, Mark, you're teaching. I got it in me. And I really think you do too. I need this. I need this word. I need this scripture. And let me go ahead and say this where all of you are looking because your antennas all went up. Oh, what's Mark going to say next? I need this, collective this. I need the influence of your good company. Like we talked about a while back in Philemon, let me benefit from you. Refresh my heart in Christ, right? Y'all remember? Let me benefit. We benefit each other. We need this. We need the Lord's Day. I need it. That's your Mother's Day story. Well, David lists all the places he can think of. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, you're there. If I go out to the deepest sea, you're there. There's no place he can't get to us. There's no place he won't come and find us. Not even overwhelming darkness. We don't know much about that around here, but I've seen it. You've seen it. Others have seen it. I've seen it out in San Francisco. I mean, it's just unbelievable darkness, but not even there. It's the light's the same. It's like light to God. It's nothing. It's nothing. Now, it should sound a little familiar to us. It should sound a little familiar, and I'll help you out with it. It's over in Romans 8. So don't turn. I'll read it, okay? Romans 8, 38. Yeah. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God, right? Something very Romans-like right here. Something very Psalms-like over in Romans. Why is that? Their source is the same. In the third section, verses 13 through 16, David, in very poetic language, drives home what he has been saying to us all through this. God is intimately acquainted with us. So much so that even our unformed substance was known to him. Now you think about that a second. Whether you're 91 or 9, there was a time when our substance was unformed and he saw us. I didn't say it, it's right here. David says, my inward parts were formed by him, were weaved in our mother's womb. It's very poetic. David exclaims, wonderful are thy works, and my heart and my soul know it very well. Even the secular world, at the birth of a baby, is often moved to say, it's a miracle. You've heard it, right? Surely you have. In the hospital, I mean, it's a miracle. They don't know quite what they're talking about, but even they know that there's something going on here greater than themselves. They do. The birth of a child is but one piece of evidence in a universe of evidence that there's something greater than ourselves at work. I'm just finished a book that my son Andrew gave me. I'm going through a bunch of books. This one is by Andrew Clavin. He's a good friend of Ben Shapiro's. He's a mystery writer. Is that right, Andrew? Is he mystery, crime? I've never read any of his stuff. But I read this because my son gave it to me. It's about Clavin's journey to faith. Clavin finds Christ. He says he finds him, really Christ. Christ called him. It's about his journey. And it is, he's a Jew. It's decades long. It is a decades long journey. There's no road to Damascus. There's no light in a cell. There's no earthquake. There's no lightning strike. It's just a track all the way up to the throne of God. It's beautiful. And all along his journey are these mile markers. And one of them was the birth of his child. He said the baby came, and it was like being in a river of love. All at once, he says, I saw beyond the painted scenery of mere existence. And it was all love. Love, unbounded, vast, alive, and everlasting. That's a lost person who said that at that time. Even his soul knew it very well. This section ends with a reminder that all of our days are numbered. The span of our lives are written in heaven and known only to God. He is the God of all our days. The little section, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. In Isaiah 55, God tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts. In Corinthians, we read that the thoughts of God are no one knows except the Spirit of God. So we, his children who have the Holy Spirit may know his thoughts. And what are those? When we feel the impulse to speak a kind word to someone, when we are somehow compelled to do a kindness, to share our faith, when our prayers are moved to remember our loved ones, our children, our prodigals, family, friends, the church, revival, we are in part knowing the thoughts of God. They are his thoughts. He put those things on our minds and in our hearts. It's in part, but we can know in part. The last line is especially sweet. When I awake, I am still with thee. All through the night last night, as we slumbered, our minds hopefully quiet, our bodies resting, our hearts were beating and our lungs were filling with air and we didn't even know it. Think you're in control? We didn't even know it. It's an unusual state, sleep. All through that last night, he was watching. He doesn't slip off when we fall asleep on another errand. He's watching. And when we woke up this morning, what did we find? That we were still with him, right? We're still with him. The transition to verse 19 through 22 is abrupt. David, up to this point, has been using a very poetic language. His words have been soaring. They're beautiful. But here, they take a hard right turn. I hate those who hate thee. Hate's a strong word, isn't it? Hatred is an intense, to feel an intense or passionate dislike for someone. Now, in our society today, there are a lot of groups have latched on to hate. We have the hate speech and the hate crimes and the hate police. In the New Testament, we're taught to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. Is what we're reading right here a contradiction to that? Is what we read right here a contradiction to that? And the answer is no. God has enemies. God has enemies. I think Jeff, one time, it hadn't been that long ago, was hitting on some of them. There was the prince of the power of the air. He's at work in the sons of disobedience. There is the great Satan himself, right? We don't like to dwell on that stuff much. There is the false angel of light. And on that goes. God has enemies. There are institutional enemies of God. It is the spirit of the enemy that's at work in them. But there are institutional forms of government that oppress God's people and oppose his kingdom. You don't believe me? Just ask our brothers and sisters, our brothers and sisters in Christ in China or in the Muslim world. Just ask. There is institutional enemies. The enemies of God have found their way into our schools, into our universities, into our halls of government, into our books, and into our movies, into our music. David in verse 22 says, "Your enemies are my enemies." Really? Your enemies, my enemies. Just like your friends are my friends. I feel that we in the modern church, especially here in America, boy, this is tough. We've made peace with God's enemies. We have made peace. Maybe not us. I don't know. But in the church in America, we've made peace with God's enemies. His enemies are not our enemies. It's not that we condone. It's not that we condone what they do. It's that we don't call it out for what it is. There was a time in my life when I heard God's name in vain, it offended me. At the very least, it wounded me. Now it's art. It's art. Imitating life. Whose life? Whose life is it imitating? I preach this to myself. So often the church looks like the world. We talk like it. We dress like it. So much so to the point that you can really tell very little difference between us and them. Now, this is not about holding up signs saying all sinners are going to hell. That's really not of the Spirit of Christ. When you see that downtown, that's not the Spirit of Christ. I'll just say that. All the Democrats are bad, or all the Republicans are bad. It's not about that. This is really not about their sin. It's about you and me. It's about our hearts. That's what it's about. The condition of our hearts. God's enemies are very quick to point out to us that Jesus was the friend of sinners. And boy, are we glad of that. He is the friend of sinners. And he kept company with them. He fellowshipped with them. He ate with them. All that's true. But then they began to stretch it, right? Jesus is not judgmental. He is inclusive and tolerant. He loves me just the way I am. He made me this way. He made me this way. If Jesus condoned sin, he would not have had to die for it. And there's your answer. If Jesus had condoned sin, he would not have had to die for it. There would be no penalty to pay. Jesus would save us and our sins. But no, he saved us from our sins. Jesus didn't tell the woman caught in adultery, go and be more discreet next time. He said to her, go and sin no more. Sin no more? I mean, come on. Yeah. Sin no more. Jesus does love sinners. What we could have been, listen, what we could have been before the fall, Christ has come to make us. And what is that? Sons and daughters of God. Christ has come to make us what we were supposed to be. What we were intended to be way, way back over here in Genesis. Steve, I think it was last Sunday, he said, the world longs to see godly men and women. They actually deserve it. That's pretty poignant. I wrote it down. Well, the benediction of this psalm is a poignant prayer. Search me. Try me. Lead me. This is a thing we would never say to each other, right? Well, we just got through talking about knowing each other on a level deeper than the surface. Yes, but there are stains on my soul, on my mind that you don't need to see. We would never say that to each other. But we may, unafraid and unashamed, pray this to our Heavenly Father. Because He already knows. He already knows. He knows us to the core. We may pray this prayer. We may take David's prayer as our own, unafraid. Search me. Try me. Lead me. Well, let's close with this prayer. Father, we pray today that you would search us. We pray that you would know our hearts. We pray that you would try us and know our anxious thoughts. And Lord, we pray that you show us if there be any hateful way in us, any hurtful way in us. And Lord, lead us in the everlasting way. Amen.